As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard The Athletic's Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets. Now here are your hosts, Tim McMaster and Connor Hughes. Listen safely.
Can't wait!
Hello, everyone. It's Friday, October 2nd. The Jets are 0-4, and Adam Gase is still the head coach. Welcome into the Can't Wait podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with Connor Hughes and Marissa Morris, our producer. Connor, first with the story that Gase will be back for the rest of this season, at least. Probably not in 2021, but we will get to that. We'll talk about why he's coming back. We'll talk about the game a little bit, and we'll hear from you as well. Thanks for joining us on YouTube if you are live, and thanks for checking us out on the podcast, wherever it is you listen to podcasts. If you're on Apple, give us a 5-star review. Love to see those as well. Connor, you suffered through another one last night live at MetLife Stadium. How you doing?
Covering the team, I don't know, but I'm feeling myself a little bit today. I mean, I woke up early. I got a fresh cut. I'm doing a CBS, Steve Overmeyer, a good buddy of mine. I'm doing the Jets late night show on CBS on Sunday. I'm actually co-hosting it for the first time. So I was like, I got to get myself looking fine. So I shaved a little bit, cleaned up the scruff that I can get. I got a fresh cut here. Nice little fade for my guy over at Friel's. And how about this? This new flannel coming in the mail from J. Crew. I didn't even know what J. Crew was a little bit ago. I forget how I found them. I think I was looking for like new T-shirts that fit right, and J. Crew popped up. So I decided to give them a shot. They have sales going. Picked up this flannel, another one. It's like nice. It fits good. Looks good. Got the guns popping. I don't know. The Jets might be in some trouble here, but I can tell you I'm feeling myself right now. Feeling good.
New thread.
Like I'm up early and
well, he's
happy.
Feeling good because on Thursdays the game time can only be 8:00, so he got that one right. And he was at home, so he couldn't forget his pants. So like this was like an easy week for Connor.
Wow, early in the morning, Marissa's bringing it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She's geared up and ready to go. You see, our boy Bo had quite the clap back at me on Twitter. I was like, you know what? I don't have any wit. I don't have any sarcasm to come back from that one. That was just all Bo. We made some. I forget exactly what I said. I was like, man, the Jets are playing bad. And he comes like, hey, he goes, they look a little unprepared, almost like not bringing your pants to a road game. I was like, God damn it, Bo. I was like, oh, that's a good one. I was like, oh, you got that one. There, you got that one. You got me there.
So we're ready to go. And Connor, you another reason to pat yourself on the back. You were first with the story that Gase will remain with the Jets, likely through the rest of the season. So I guess let's start there. Why? Why are the Jets hanging on to Adam Gase? Earlier in the week, we talked about the fact that if they played really poorly on Thursday night, there was a good chance he would be gone. You learned over the time between that podcast and the game that was probably not going to be the case, and now he's staying on, I would say, comfortably, at least to the bye week and probably through the rest of the season. But explain why.
Yeah, so I mean, this was something that I mean, look, you make calls to people, you talk to people, you formulate, you can have your opinion, right? And that's the difference between, I think, what is lost a lot in translation on social media, on Twitter, on everything like that, is that, you know, it's one thing to have your opinion, but when you're a reporter, you also have to give your facts, not just your opinion. And a lot of, like, when you write columns and when you write stories, when you like, that's a lot of that is that, right? But it's also your facts, and you can kind of, if you can try for the Jet fan here to remove what I think should happen from kind of explaining where the Jets are and what the Jets are thinking about, I think that that is the easiest way to go about this. And in the Jets' opinion, kind of the way that they view this thing is that there really isn't a succession plan if they are to fire out of Gase right now. Is that they are still in the business of trying to win football games. They are still in the business of trying to field the most competitive team that they have. They don't really have a plan B that I think they feel overly confident in. I know they've had some discussions. I know they've talked about, you know, is it maybe time to move on from Adam Gase? But like what it comes down to, and it's a myriad of things that we're going to get into, but among them is you can have Greg Williams take over as the interim head coach, right? That's what the large portion of this fan base sees. That's what a lot of people, myself included, connected those dots as far as look what Greg Williams did when he was the Browns interim head coach. Greg Williams has been a head coach before. He's going to have the ability to do that. Like he has that ability to kind of be the interim head coach and find some performance success. Last night kind of hammered home what we've seen all throughout this year, which is that the Jets defense is as much of an issue as their offense. We can talk about this more extensively later in the show, but the Jets defense is a problem. I mean, they can't tackle cover or they can't tackle cover or get to the quarterback. And now they're playing ridiculously undisciplined football. I mean, it was 6 personal foul penalties they had. I mean, at times they had 10 points handed to the Broncos just from Quinnen Williams with a field goal and a touchdown by him getting them off the field or giving them free first downs on third down. I mean, the defense is as much of a disaster as the Jets offense is. And if that's the case, the Jets defense is as much of an issue as the Jets offense. How can you say, okay, Greg Williams is now our interim head coach and expect it to get better? Secondly, it's who's going to call the offensive plays, right? Dowell Loggins. Dowell Loggins is really a poor man's Adam Gase. I mean, he's Gase's right-hand man. I know he's offensive coordinator, but he's actually the quarterback's coach. Are you going to give it to Jim Bob Cooter? Jim Bob Cooter was the offensive coordinator in Detroit. He gets fired, and the best job that he can piece together and find after being an offensive coordinator for the Lions and putting up some good numbers with Matt Stafford is running backs coach for the Jets. Like, that's the best he can have. So the Jets are still in this thing to try to win games. The Jets still want to win games. The Jets are, it's hard to imagine they are a better team. And as crazy as it sounds, and look, I'm not defending Adam Gase because Adam Gase deserves a large portion of the criticism for the state that the Jets are in. He has been bad. His offense has been bad. That play action rollout that he ran on the 2-point conversion, I mean, the world saw that coming. The wheel route to Frank Gore, I mean, that's the first time we've seen a wheel route to Frank Gore since he was playing for the Niners during the Lincoln administration. Oh. So it's like the things that Adam Gase is doing do not make sense. Adam Gase is with the way that this is going right now, Adam Gase is not going to be this team's head coach in 2021. So I'm not trying to defend Adam Gase. Again, I'm just trying to explain where the Jets are standing. If they were to let Adam Gase go, yes, it would appease this fan base. Yes, it would make this fan base happy, but it would not make the Jets any better. Like, that is something that this team is taking into consideration, is that are the Jets better without Adam Gase than they are with? And the answer is no, because Dowell Loggins or Jim Bob Cooter are not going to be better at calling offense. Adam Gase is not good at calling offense, but it's a legitimate step back before you get to Dowell Loggins and Jim Bob Cooter. Who's going to be your interim head coach? Is this team really going to take Greg Williams seriously? I mean, the guy's a screaming, yelling character kind of thing, but like eventually that falls on deaf ears and they're not going to take this guy seriously. The big thing to take into consideration here too is Sam Darnold, right? Like that is the big thing that the Jets realized. Like the Jets went into this season hoping they were gonna maybe win 7-8 games at the best case scenario. Everything was gonna come together, and if that happened, they might be able to backdoor their way into the playoffs with like that number 3 wild card spot. Like that's what the Jets thought they could do. They were not expecting Super Bowl. They weren't expecting divisional title. They realized they're still a couple of years away. The top priority for this offseason, or the top priority for this team this season, though, was finishing 2020 with a concrete evaluation of Sam Darnold. That they weren't going to end this year not knowing what he was. They were going to know, is this guy a franchise quarterback? Is this guy a good quarterback? Is this guy someone we have to put a ton of pieces around for him to be good? Is this a guy who can elevate the play of those around him? That's what they needed to know. They needed to have a concrete evaluation of Darnold at the end of the year. The Jets are if the season ended today, the Jets are screwed because they have no idea what they have in Sam Darnold. They don't know if he is a franchise quarterback. They don't know if he's the guy that can elevate the plays around him. They don't know what kind of player he is. And they don't know what kind of player he is because they've honestly failed in evaluating him. Because you can say, is Sam Darnold struggling right now because of Sam Darnold? That's a possibility. Is Sam Darnold struggling right now because of Adam Gase? That's a possibility. Is Sam Darnold struggling right now because of the lack of playmakers around him? That's a possibility. They're all variables that play to this hand. And add to the fact that the Jets can't get this concrete evaluation of Sam Darnold, right? Like, that's what the Jets are dealing with right now. If they are to fire Adam Gase, it adds another variable to the equation. At least by keeping Adam Gase, and this is probably the biggest reason why Adam Gase is not going anywhere. If they are to fire Adam Gase right now, they're put in a position where you're just adding another variable for Sam Darnold. You're just adding another thing you can say, well, maybe this is why he's struggling. Because now he's going to have Dow Loggins in his ear, who's basically going to be calling Adam Gase's same offense, but with a different voice. When Gase is, there's a reason why Dowell is Gase's right-hand man, and it's not the other way around. Like, you're just literally downgrading Gase, and that's what you get with Dow Loggins. If you were to hand the offense over to Jim Bob Cooter, the offense that Jim Bob Cooter ran in Detroit is not what Adam Gase is running. So now, are you going to teach Sam Darnold a brand new offense in week four? Are you going to put an entirely, like, it's going to now take an acclimation period as Darnold gets used to listening to plays called by Jim Bob Cooter compared to Adam Gase and or Dow Loggins. So they're just adding another variable. And the Jets realize that they need to know what they have in Sam Darnold by the end of the year. If they fire Adam Gase, that's just going to add another variable and delay this whole thing where they're still now definitely not going to know, because you're going to say, okay, well, now is he not struggling because Sam's bad? Is he not struggling because of coaching? Is he not struggling because we changed the offensive play calling? Is he not struggling because of the playmakers? Is he not struggling because of the injuries? Like there's all of these things now where it's just another variable that the Jets don't want to have to deal with. And they believe that firing Adam Gase will be detrimental to Sam Darnold. And I'm not saying Adam Gase is this world beater and getting so much out of Sam Darnold, because again, we'll talk about this too. Sam did not look great. He had a couple highlight plays, but he did not look great against the Broncos last night. Like, it's just adding more to it. And then finally, there is this notion from pretty much a past regime with Woody Johnson and all these other things that the Jets have a quick trigger finger. That if you work for this team and you don't get those immediate results, they're going to fire you. And you need to basically take over and have an immediate impact, or you're going to get fired. Like, that's kind of the notion that the Jets have because of Woody Johnson. Christopher Johnson's not Woody Johnson. Christopher Johnson is in no way, shape, or form his brother. Like, that is just, it's not the case. He is not his brother. And he's doing what he can to beat that perception that's around this team and erase that perception around this team. And there, I'm sure there is some form of a concern from everyone around the league that is looking at the Jets and looking at the Jets roster and realizing this team is not anywhere close to a playoff contender. They look at this roster and realize it is one of the worst in the NFL. And they look at this roster and they look at the current state of the team. And then there are going to be coaching candidates that say, Adam Gase got 20 games with that roster, finished 7-9 in year one, then with that roster got off to an 0-4 start, playing three teams that are potentially going to be in the playoffs, two teams that could potentially be competing to play in the championship game of their respective conferences, and the Bills and the 49ers. One of them could be a Super Bowl contender. He lost four games, three of those to those type of teams, and the team fired him after a 7-9 finish. I'm not going there. And like, that's a legit concern, because look, the Jets are not buying into Adam Gase for 2021. What the Jets are doing is they're buying in to Adam Gase for, in their opinion, the rest of the season. They have no plans to fire him right now. I can tell you that per team sources. They have no intention of firing Adam Gase this year. Part of that has to do with, not because they're guaranteeing him 2021, not because they're necessarily saying, we believe you can turn this around and get us to 12-4 and get us to the playoffs, but because they don't want the next coach that they hire to look at this situation and say, you know what? I'm a top-tier coaching candidate. I've got my choice. I kind of like the Jets. I like the fact they have cap space. I like Joe Douglas. I like that I can potentially pick the quarterback with Trevor Lawrence. But you know what? Is it worth it? Because if I don't win in 20 games, I'm going to be out. So like, there's a lot of parts to this. It's that there's no succession plan. It is, the vast majority of it is around Sam Darnold and the fact that the Jets don't want to add another variable to slow their evaluation of him. And then it's also the fact that they don't want to have this notion that they are one of the teams that just constantly fires coaches at the drop of a hat because they don't get the immediate results. They just don't want that.
Although I guess the the argument on the other side of just that point would be that the next head coach will be Joe Douglas's guy, right? Like, that's, you know, there won't be as quick a trigger because you're the guy that was picked partially by Joe Douglas to come in and lead this team. It totally makes sense, not, you know, with Darnold's development. But, man, you think of Matthew Stafford and the Lions offense and the attack that they ran there for years, throwing the ball downfield. And if I'm a Jets fan, I'm like, you know what? I'd love to see Sam
Calvin
Darnold
Johnson,
in that attack
Marvin
where
Jones,
you're actually throwing the ball.
Kenny Johnson, Marvin Jones, they're not out there, man. They don't even have Jahvid Best on this team. Like, they, like, you don't that and that's a name, huh? You like that name drop, Jahvid Best? I remember that dude. I used to wreck games with him in Madden. I love Jahvid Best. He had like that. What was it? I think concussions ended his career. He had like he had a couple nasty concussions in college, and he had another one I think with the Lions got flipped upside down. I think like. It was an ugly play. If I think in the end zone, I think he ran like to the left side of the end zone. I don't know why I remember that, but I think he got, that was kind of what ended his career, I think. But no, like you're right. Look, and that's what I'm trying to like explain here too, is like everyone realizes, and there are people within the Jets building who realize it's not working with Adam Gase. There is a very real chance. Like it is, I would say it's 99.9%. that Adam Gase is not the Jets head coach in 2021. Like it's not going to happen. The concern with the Jets right now though, and where you kind of have to separate Jet fans who have it in the, like the fandom of just wanting Adam Gase fired and look at this from like, okay, what is firing Adam Gase really going to accomplish? And after the Jets fire Adam Gase, what do they do next? Right? Because if you fire Adam Gase, who's the interim head coach? It's going to be Greg Williams. Greg Williams' defense is a disaster this year. If you fire Adam Gase, you still need to get an evaluation of Sam Darnold to figure out if you should be considering drafting Trevor Lawrence number one overall next year or number two overall or moving up to get Trevor Lawrence. You would just be putting another variable of a reason why you don't know what kind of player Sam Darnold is, because now it's, like I said, is it offensive line? Is it Sam? Is it the receivers? Is it Adam Gase? Is it Sam himself? You don't know, and you're not going to know. And then you also add in the fact that the Jets don't want to start losing coaching candidates who look at this team, say same old Jets, look at this roster, realize it gets 2 or 3 years away and saying, you know what? I'm not going to take this job because one, even if I can pick my own quarterback, even if I've got the cap space, even if I like Joe Douglas, I don't want to run the risk that I have to win with this roster within the next year, year and a half, or I'm going to get fired. Like that's just not what it's just not what the team's willing to do. So again, I know that firing Gase would appease the fan base. I know Gase honestly probably deserves to get fired. He does deserve to get fired. I'll be honest. Like the Jets just lost to a third string quarterback making the first start of his career for a team that is as injury decimated as they are. And they lost by 2 possessions. Like this team, again, it was pathetic. I can't get over what I saw from the offense. It was steps in the right direction. They did move the ball. Like that was a positive, but like, still, there's so many questionable calls that Gase made where it's like he's just not getting it and he's still just not getting it. But the next option is worse. Like, it's bad right now. It's not good right now. The Jets are kind of improving. They should get better once these guys get healthy. But still, I'm not trying to say that this is good or that Gase deserves his job or anything like that. What I'm trying to explain is that the next option, when you really look at this, and when if the Jet fan can just forget his hatred, his venomous hatred for Adam Gase for just 2 seconds, and look at what the Jets would look like without Adam Gase for the remainder of this season compared to what they look like right now, they would be worse off. They would be worse. They're not in a good position right now, but they would be worse than they are right now if they were to fire Adam Gase, and that's why the Jets are not making a move. It's for Sam. It's for the future, and it's for the fact they're not going to be better off this year because of it. And that's why they plan. I can tell you right now, the plan right now is for Gase to coach the rest of the season, and that it is going to take something extremely dramatic for that to change.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, Connor, and maybe Jets fans, now's the time to start tuning into Prospects to Pros, one of our great podcasts here at The Athletic with Dane Brugler and Lance Zierlein. They actually tackled this topic this week as well, with the Jets at that time off to an 0-3 start. The question was raised, if they end up with the number one pick, is Trevor Lawrence going to be the guy? And this is what Dane and Lance had to say about that possibility.
When you look at Trevor Lawrence, you look at the character, you know, just the way he handles himself, the way he carries himself. If the Jets end up with the number one overall pick, you could take it to the bank. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to be a Jet next year. You agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I would agree. And then I would also say you get some draft picks. By moving Sam Darnold, you actually could surround him with another a plug-in offensive lineman there and maybe a wide receiver with your draft picks you would get from dealing Sam Darnold.
So that discussion brings up two points here, right? Trevor Lawrence and then what Joe Douglas's next task will be if this pans out, Connor. If they have the number one pick and Trevor Lawrence is the guy, then you got to do something with Sam Darnold. And then Joe Douglas has that. That makes this season important too, right? Because if you do decide that you're going to trade Sam Darnold, you want him to have as much value as possible when it comes to trading him, which means he needs to look a heck of a lot better than he has in these first 4 weeks. So you basically have 12 weeks here to prove to the rest of the league, possibly, that Sam Darnold, while it didn't work out in New York because there's a possibility for Trevor Lawrence, he could still be the right guy for your team. So give us some picks for him. I mean, it's kind of a complicated dance, and that's why Joe Douglas is getting the big bucks.
Well, Sam Darnold's always going to have value because there are going to be those around the league that still view him as the first-round pick, that still had a high grade on him coming out of USC. There are going to be those around the league that look at Sam Darnold and see the flash plays that he makes. You know, those Ryan Fitzpatrick-like plays with the Ryan Fitzpatrick-like inconsistencies. They're going to see those two things and say, like, if we can iron out the inconsistencies, he can be a hell of a player and just bring up, like, those like, big strengths. Like, we'll be able to get him going. And there is also going to be a large portion of people around the league that look at this and say, no, the Jets effed him up. It wasn't Sam. Quarterback could have had success there. And look, the Jets aren't going to get a first-round pick for Sam.
No.
They're not going to get, like, they might get a two, but I think probably more, like, maybe a two. I got to make some calls about that and ask what the Jets, I'm going to actually, yeah, I'm teasing another story, but that's going to make some calls to kind of figure that out. But, like, Sam will always have value because, like I said, he's still on his rookie deal, still people are going to have a high grade on him from USC. They're going to look at what the Jets did to him. They're going to look at all these other variables and say, like, we believe that our coaching can make him better than what he is. The story that's going to be coming on The Athletic on Monday is basically analyzing this entire thing, is breaking down Sam Darnold, Trevor Lawrence, and if this season keeps going this way and the Jets have the number one or number two pick in the draft, what are the Jets going to do and should they draft Trevor Lawrence? And when I was talking to my editor, Chris Strauss, about it, like, he was talking about, like, well, he goes, just, you know, bouncing ideas off of, like, what way could this story go? Could it go this way? Could it go that way? Like, what could we potentially do with this story? And he said, well, what if we also led into the story with, well, what can Sam Darnold do to make the Jets, and this kind of goes to what you were just saying, Tim, is what can Sam Darnold do for the Jets that convinces them not to take Trevor Lawrence? And I kind of basically said it, and what I'll say now is, like, I don't believe that those two things are related, right? Because in order for Sam Darnold to prove to the Jets that they don't need Trevor Lawrence and that he's the franchise quarterback and he should be the guy, he's going to play well enough in these games where the Jets are going to steal three or four of these games. They might sweep the Dolphins. They might beat the Bills. They might take down the Chargers. They could steal one from one of these other teams that look at the Jets as a trap game. If the Jets get to four or five wins, they're not going to be in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence anyway. And they won't be in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence anyway because Sam Darnold plays well.
Right.
If the Jets are in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence, that means they finished 0-16, 1-15, or 2-14. Like, that's what the Jets' record will be if they are in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence. There is no quarterback that I can remember in his third year, no matter what talent he was surrounded with, that went 0-16, 1-15, 2-14, and then suddenly magically turned it on to be a franchise quarterback. I know you have Aikman, but Aikman did it in year one. I know you have Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning did it in year one. Sam Darnold is in year three and making the mistakes that he made his rookie and second year. So I don't see them as correlated. I don't see them as what can Sam Darnold do to convince the Jets not to take Trevor Lawrence, because if the Jets are in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence, that means Sam Darnold didn't do it. So in order for the Jets to not draft Trevor Lawrence, it will not be because Trevor Lawrence is there and they pass on him. It will be because Sam Darnold did enough this season to take the Jets out of the running for Trevor Lawrence. Now, we're going to put that equation out of the picture, because when you look at this Jets schedule, and I got to see, I've tweeted it a couple times, but when you look at this Jets schedule the rest of the way, versus Cardinals, at Chargers, versus Bills, at Chiefs, versus Patriots, at Dolphins, bye week, versus Dolphins, versus Raiders, at Seahawks, at Rams, versus Browns, versus Patriots. The two Dolphins games are potentially winnable, but with what we've seen from the Dolphins this season, they would beat the Jets by 3 scores. The Browns, maybe. The Browns aren't that great of a team. They would beat the Jets by 3 scores. Maybe the Chargers with the rookie quarterback, Justin Herbert, but that team looks significantly better than the Jets right now. So the Jets aren't going to go winless, I don't think. But I don't see more than one or two wins on the rest of this schedule. And that's with the current state of the roster. That's including if everyone comes back, because there's a lot of really good teams in this schedule. If the Jets are picking number one, if they're picking number two and the team that's picking number one is going to go with, you know, Jamar Chase, the receiver, or a pass rusher or something like that, or an offensive lineman, and the quarterback falls to the Jets, I think what the Jets are going to have to realize is that they're going into next season without a final evaluation of Sam Darnold. They will be going into next season with a lot of thoughts. Like, if we surround Sam Darnold with this, if we get Sam Darnold this coach, Sam Darnold might be a franchise quarterback. That's what they will be saying. They will also be looking at Trevor Lawrence in the draft and saying, this guy's potential, what this guy can do, his arm strength, his accuracy, his mobility, his durability, his way he can read defenses, the way that his progressions are there in college. You look at the quarterbacks that have come out of Clemson. I mean, it's Deshaun. It's you have, like, there's a nice little quarterback factory over there in Clemson where good guys are coming out of there. You can look at that and say, I think that guy's going to be a franchise quarterback once he gets here. You will basically have two situations where you are gambling on either Darnold's a franchise quarterback or Trevor Lawrence is a franchise quarterback. They're both gambles. Neither is a certainty. Like, I know, can't miss prospect, yada, yada. I wish I had a dollar for every can't miss prospect in the NFL that turned out not to be it, because I would have so many more shares in DraftKings than I have right now, which we'll talk about later, but I'm on a rocket ship to the moon with my DraftKings stock. Now, what I would say with Darnold is that, or what I would say with this Darnold-Lawrence debate that Joe Douglas will have to have, is this. The Jets roster is likely still 2 or 3 years away from competing. Like, you can see that now. Like, they still need to address the offensive line. Alex Lewis, like, there is maybe okay, but you're probably still going to need 2 new guards. You're going to maybe need a new right tackle center. Becton's probably the one piece where you're like, that guy's good. Defense, you need a pass rusher. You need corners. You need safeties. You need everything there, too. You obviously need receivers. And with the way Chris Herndon's disappeared this year, you might need a tight end, too. So this roster is not close, right? Like, this roster is not close to competing. You're going to have to pay Sam Darnold after year four, without a doubt, after year five. So you've got like 2 years left of his rookie deal before you're going to have to make a decision on paying him. In my opinion, at that point, if the Jets are 0-16, 1-15, 2-14 in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence, and you don't know what you have in Sam, and you'd be taking a risk on keeping him as your franchise quarterback, and you're looking at Trevor Lawrence and you're taking a risk on him, if Joe Douglas has a higher grade on Trevor Lawrence than what he had on Sam Darnold when he came out, if he has a higher grade on Trevor Lawrence than what he has on Sam Darnold right now, I think that you have to draft Trevor Lawrence, because while you don't know what Trevor Lawrence is, you also don't know what Sam Darnold is. But with the current state of the Jets roster still probably being 2, 3, maybe even 4 years away from being a legitimate divisional contender, you get Trevor Lawrence on his rookie contract, where you don't have to have that conversation of, we have to pay Sam in 2 years. You basically reset the clock, and you're now going to have Trevor Lawrence on that rookie contract for 4 or 5 years, when with Sam, you kind of got to pay him after one. Maybe you can stretch it to two. Like, that, I think, is the main discussion that the Jets are going to have. And like Dane said, who's one of the best college football analysts in terms of scouting that I've ever heard. I love talking to the guy. He is such a resource. I love him to death. What he implied there with where the Jets can then flip Sam for picks, I think that works themselves out better, because you'll be able to get an extra three, potentially a two, from a team that really, really likes Darnold. You can then get Lawrence. You have the other first round pick from the Seahawks. You've got a bunch of second rounders. You got your third rounders. You got a guy in Joe Douglas that you truly believe is a draft guru. You can really start this rebuild. And it's disappointing, because when the Jets drafted Sam Darnold, I was there, man. Like, you felt this rush of energy around this team. You know, they got their guy. They got the next Joe Namath. They got their franchise quarterback. But if you're in a position here with Sam Darnold after year three, and the Jets have failed him, because they failed him in surrounding him with talent. They failed in giving him a legitimate head coach. They failed him in so many different ways. Like, they did. The Jets failed Sam Darnold. But I think maybe one of the best things they could do for Sam Darnold is send him somewhere else, and for the Jets, for them, restart it. I think that's one of those things where, again, if the Jets are 4-12, 5-11, this is a moot point. This doesn't matter. But if the Jets are 1-15, if the Jets are 2-14, I think the best thing for this team would be to move Darnold and get picks and send him to a different team and let him start anew. And for the Jets, you go full into this rebuild with Trevor Lawrence and a brand new quarterback and somebody that you believe has a hell of a ceiling. And then who knows what you look like in 2 or 3 years, but you'd have more picks, a quarterback still in his rookie deal, and you can rock and roll.
Here's a fun scenario for you come draft time. Imagine if this happened. Imagine, because you look at the teams that are currently, I mean, things can change. A team that has a win now could go on an awful run. But the teams that are winless in the NFL right now, the Falcons aren't a terrible team. They've just blown leads throughout the season. It's just been, they've been more embarrassing than anything with the way they've handled games. The Vikings are not as bad a football team as the Jets, clearly. The Texans have talent on that roster. You would think they're going to get rolling here. Their
All
schedule's
these teams
been
beat
tough.
The Jets by 20.
Right. Their All schedule's been tough. But the one team that's fascinating, right, is the Giants. So what happens? Can you imagine if the Giants end up with the number one pick, the Jets have the number two pick, and the Giants are sitting there with Daniel Jones and Trevor Lawrence, and the Jets are sitting there praying that the Giants decide that Daniel Jones is their guy. And he has, you know, through it one season and a few games here, he has looked better than Sam Darnold, to be honest. But the Jets are then hoping that their crosstown rivals are happy enough with their quarterback that Trevor Lawrence would fall to number two. That would be fascinating.
Oh, it would be fun to watch. And I think that with the one thing with the Giants is that they do play in the same division as Washington. They play in the same division as Philly. So, like, they kind of got some games where, even in their current state, they might be able to steal one. I mean, Philly looks atrocious this year. Washington is I mean, they're bad. Like, they got inflated by beating the Eagles in that opener, but they're a really bad football team. Like, the Giants have some they have four games there where they can potentially win. The Jets, meanwhile, have like two. So that's kind of where I still think the Jets are going to finish worse. But the one other point I forgot to actually make with the whole Trevor Lawrence Darnold comparison is that, like, Christopher Johnson wants to do this right. Joe Douglas wants to do this right. So if the Jets are 0-15 or 0-16, 1-15, they're picking, you know, number one in the draft, number two in the draft, and they've got a chance to draft Trevor Lawrence. You're also obviously going to be having a new coach. Like, you're bringing in a new coach. When the Cardinals were recruiting their top coaching candidate in Cliff Kingsbury, right? Like, they wanted Cliff. That's the guy they wanted. They thought he was an offensive genius. They thought he'd flourish. And you've seen a lot of that thus far. Like, you've seen a lot of that to this point with him flourishing, him taking off, all that stuff. One of the big things and one of the big pitches for the Cardinals to them is that they told him he could pick his quarterback. So the Cardinals already had Josh Rosen on the roster, a guy they had invested a first round pick in, right? They already had Josh Rosen. They thought he was going to be the franchise quarterback, much like the Jets did. They did not tell Cliff Kingsbury, this is our quarterback. We know you might have some concerns about him, but you have to develop him. You have to believe in Sam Darnold for you to be this team's head coach. What they said is that we want you to be our head coach. We trust you. If you think Josh Rosen is the guy, we'll roll with Josh Rosen. If we have the number one pick in the draft, if you want Kyler Murray and think he's the guy, we'll run with Kyler Murray. So it basically gave the head coach this chance to pick his quarterback. The Jets are going to have a legitimate, like, it's not a bad job when the Jets head coaching vacancy is open. Joe Douglas has a tremendous reputation. Christopher Johnson, I know he gets some bad reps, but he's not Woody Johnson, which I've said. The Jets are going to have cap space. They're going to have a ton of draft picks. They also have such low expectation, like this fan base and all this has such low expectation because of how much everyone hates Adam Gase, that the next guy who walks in this door as the head coach is going to be viewed as a messiah. Like, it's literally going to be how people viewed Mike Maccagnan when he replaced John Idzik. Like, he's going to have an insane honeymoon just because he's not Adam Gase. What you don't want to do is fall in love with a head coaching candidate, believe that this guy is the next Sean McVay, believe that he is the next Cliff Kingsbury, believe he's the next Pete Carroll, believe that he's the guy that's going to be this team's head coach for 15 years, and then go to him and say, here's the thing, in Eric Bieniemy, you have to keep Darnold. Have to play with Darnold. Because what if Bieniemy didn't believe in Darnold coming out of USC? What if Bieniemy has seen the film from Darnold this year and doesn't believe in Darnold? What if whatever coach the Jets find and fall in love with doesn't feel about Sam Darnold the way that Mike Maccagnan, Todd Bowles, and Adam Gase did over the last 3 years? Like, that is very real possibility. So you could potentially taking that head coaching list and cutting it in half if you're saying you have to work with the quarterback we have. The better option for the Jets would be to go into this thing, hire the head coach, and say, how do you feel about Sam? What do you think we should do at number one? If the head coach comes in and says, look, I think the kid's a nice kid. I think he has the potential to be a starter in this league, but he's so inconsistent that you can't consistently win with him. I think we need to go with Trevor Lawrence. Then I think that's going to be a discussion they have to have. Like, I truly do that. Because if you try to hire a new head coach and you stick him with an unproven quarterback when you have a chance to grab a potential generational passer in Trevor Lawrence, I just don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do it.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
So I said we have a lot of good questions. Let's start with this one from Derek Crossman. He said, Darnold had a surprisingly clean pocket for most of the time last night, but he kept getting pressured or sacking himself. Where's Darnold's internal clock?
This is what drives me nuts about Sam and what makes evaluating Sam so hard. And what actually I did a radio hit on WFN and I kind of pointed this out, and it's what he just listened to. I think fans miss. Sam is a very athletic person. He's a very talented person. There's a reason he was the number three pick in the draft. There's a reason why some people believed he was the best quarterback coming out of a class that was considered very deep with quarterbacks, with Josh Allen, Josh Rosen. Lamar obviously went later on, and then Sam. Like, there's a reason why, and Baker. There's a reason why people felt that way. He's going to make plays. Like, he's going to do things that impress you. He's going to make the run, like you saw, where he jukes the defender in the hole and takes off and then scores. Or he's going to do the play where he rolls off to his right and hits Jeff Smith with a rocket line drive and gets him for a first down and a 22-yard gain. He's going to do those things because he has the talent to do those things. And every single game, he's going to do that a couple of times. The issue with Sam Darnold, and is the issue that plagues so many quarterbacks, and it's why right now my biggest comparison to him is Ryan Fitzpatrick, is because for every one of those plays, you have several others where you're like, what did you just do there? You know, like go back and watch the film, rewatch the game. There are guys and receivers that are open. There's one, Braxton Berrios, coming right over the middle on second down to set the jet. He's going to catch the ball and run, and Darnold overthrows him. There's the play where Cager on the skinny post, where the play where Darnold got hurt, Cager is wide open, like open by NFL standards. Lawrence Cager, crappy receiver, still wide open. Darnold sees him, doesn't throw the ball, takes the sack, gets hurt. Like the play where he gets sacked, even that fourth and three, right, where his guy's not open. What Sam needs to realize is that is fourth down and three. The Jets are calling a three-step drop. It is a bang, bang play. That's what the offensive linemen are anticipating. Get the snap, pivot, throw, right? He gets the snap, he pivots, he looks, he sees the first option is covered. He goes to his second read. The second read is covered. What he has to know as soon as that second read isn't there is one run or two force the ball. Because on fourth and three, you have to get rid of the ball. You cannot take a sack. Instead, he pulls the ball down, tries to go to his third progression on a bang, bang play. It wasn't a three-step drive. I was thinking he was in the shotgun, but it was like a get the ball, throw the ball. He tries to do that, and he goes down and takes a sack. The Jets game's eventually over. So it's one of those things where, like, you get the positivity from him. You get the big play. You get the throw down the sideline. You get the run. You get the touchdown. You get the wow. But then you get the, ugh, what was that? Like, ugh, why isn't it there? And those are the inconsistencies with a quarterback that you expect in year one. Those are the inconsistencies you still expect in year two, but they're less than year one. They're not the inconsistencies that you expect in year three of a quarterback. And Sam is a guy that completed yesterday. Yesterday was the best game of his season. He didn't throw a touchdown. He didn't throw an interception, but he completed only 53% of his passes, and he missed as many throws as he hit. And I know, again, you don't know if that's because of coaching. You don't know if that's why the inconsistencies are still there. You don't know if it's because of the playmakers around him. But there are plays there where Berrios is open, where Hogan is open, where Cager's open, and Sam just isn't hitting them. So I think that's what's holding him back, is the inconsistency. And you don't know why. Like, I can't tell you why he does those things. I don't know why he runs out. I don't know if he's feeling phantom pressure from the 2 years he spent, the first 2 years of his career, getting beat up because Mike Maccagnan did not build an offensive line around him. I don't know if this is the tremors from that. I don't. But that's why, like, these reasons, it's not what Sam, it's not Sam's highlights. Like I think that's what people need to separate themselves from. It's not Sam's highlights that you need to focus on, right? It's like when you pick your handicap in golf, you take your highest score and you take your lowest score and you throw them out. You need to do that. You need to look at everything in the middle. It's not about the 46-yard touchdown. It's about missing the guy wide open in the middle for the 5-yard gain. It's not about the 22-yard pass. It's the fact that he's got a guy open 15 yards on a skinny post and he doesn't even throw the ball. It's those inconsistencies that are scaring the hell out of the Jets, because they don't know why it's still happening in year three. That's the regression. So Sam is athletic enough where you're always going to have a couple plays a game where you're like, wow. But he said it himself. He's not going to be a successful quarterback in the NFL until the inconsistencies are gone. And you don't know if that's ever going to happen, because there are quarterbacks in the league, Ryan Fitzpatrick is one of them, who makes the same highlight plays that Sam Darnold does and then the same low light plays Sam Darnold does. And there's a reason Fitzpatrick's a journeyman and he's not Deshaun Watson.
All right, Sean Redican has, well, he has many complaints, but he shared two of them with us and wants thoughts. Why is Chris Herndon completely invisible after impressing not just coaches, but the media as well, all of camp? And last night was a perfect example of that. And then number two, why the refusal to use P. Ryan consistently? We talked about the wheel route to Gore last night. Seems like a play that would be better suited maybe for P. Ryan.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I think that with the Herndon thing, what's weird with him, and I've talked to people over in the Jets about this, he does it in practice.
Right.
Like, and that's not like when I used to quote, who was that, Casey Rogers, when Darrell Revis' last year with the Jets, he was struggling and playing like crazy, had no interceptions. And Casey Rogers goes, I don't know, man, he's getting interceptions in practice. And it was obviously because he was picking off Christian Hackenberg in practice. Like, that's not why. Like it's not like that. I mean, Herndon takes over practices. Like, he does. He takes over practices. In training camp, there were days where he was simply unguardable in games. Sundays come, and the Jets don't know why he just disappears. It's not like they're not drawing up plays for him. I've seen the plays that the Jets have drawn up for them where they've said, the goal is to get Chris Herndon the ball. He's not creating separation. He's not really getting open. When the Jets are getting him the ball, he's not catching it. He dropped a first down last week. He dropped a touchdown against the 49ers. I mean, the Jets are giving him opportunities to make plays. He's just not making them. And I don't know if that's because he's still kind of rusty from missing an entire year last year. I don't know if he's just struggling within Adam Gase's offense. I don't know if he's just off. Like, I don't know, but that is the biggest anomaly for, I think, the Jets this season, is that, I mean, he was supposed to be the unicorn. He was the player that Adam Gase ranted and raved about every time he opened his mouth throughout training camp. And the guy has, what, 11 catches this season? He's been invisible in every single game but the Bill opener. And in the Bill game opener, he fumbled a ball, which prevented the Jets from even thinking about coming back. So I don't know what's wrong with him. It's weird. And regarding LaMichael Perine, dude, that I don't know why Adam Gase continues to just, and it's supposed to be a running back by committee. Like, the Jets game plan is Frank Gore in series one, Frank Gore in series two. Then you alternate with Balazs doing third downs, right? Like, that's what they want. eventually, like, you have to have this wherewithal that the plays you're running, you should not be running these plays based off the guys you have in there. So if you want to run a wheel route, I'm fine. I've seen the Jets get beat by wheel routes enough. It'd be nice to see them actually successfully do one. But Gore is not the guy you run the wheel route with. Put the rookie in there that you talk about has breakaway speed. Like, the Jets, I think what the Jets need to come to the realization of now is that they are an 0-4 football team. They are a bad football team. They can't stop losing. And it does not make sense to run a 75-year-old running back 15 times a game. If you want to bring Frank Gore in for short yardage situations, that makes sense to me. If you want to bring Frank Gore in to protect on third down because he's a good pass blocker, that makes sense to me. But there is no reason why P. Ryan, who is healthy now, like when he first played his first game 2 weeks ago, the hamstring was about 85-90%. He's 100% now. He's back. There's no reason why that guy should not be the featured back of this offense until Le'Veon Bell returns. There's no reason for it. And I don't understand why Adam Gase is doing it. But from what I understand, this is the exact same thing that happened with Kenyon Drake in Miami. This is the exact same thing that happened with Jay Ajayi to points in Miami. Like, I don't have an explanation because I've talked to Gase about it. We've talked to Gase about it in press conferences. He said that they want to get P. Ryan going. They want to feature P. Ryan because he's the only guy on offense that has the ability to go 50 yards on any one play, and he has this game-breaking ability. That's the case, man. Why are you giving the ball to Frank Gore? Like, Frank Gore is going to get you 3 yards, and that's it. That's all you're getting with Frank. Like, that's it. And I don't know. That's a long-winded way of saying the hell if I know. But it makes no sense to me.
All right, we only have a few minutes here, so we got to fly through picks, Connor. Can you do that? You got like 1 minute to give your picks.
Yeah. Let me scroll down and get them because I kind of forget what I wrote. How about another sweep? But yeah, so my three picks this week. There's nothing too crazy. I got to bring up who these two teams are playing, but the ones I like a lot. I love the fact that the Bears are being given points with Nick Foles against the Colts. I don't think the Colts are nearly as good as people are giving them credit for. I mean, they're 2-1 right now. They lost to the Jaguars, and the only two teams they beat are two teams that literally are combined 0-7, and that's the Jets and it's the Vikings. So the fact that you're getting Chicago at home and 2.5 points, like, I just think that that's money. And I like Nick Foles. I think the Bears offense is going to be significantly better with him. So give me Chicago there over Indy. I like that a lot. In fact, I would dabble with the money line too. The other two picks I like are Arizona -3.5. I just love Kyler Murray. I think that's a team that you can continue to ride the entire time. They're playing Carolina, and I just don't believe in the Panthers. I think that's a safe line too. Like, I think that could be a 6-point, 7-point game. The Panthers are a scrappy team a little bit, but the Cardinals are so much better. And the one against win of the season against Jacksonville -3. Joe Burrow looks good. Should have won last week. You can tell that's a team that's ascending, and I think Jacksonville's coming back down to earth after that opener against the Colts. So give me Chicago +2.5, Arizona -3.5, and then Carolina -3. Trying to keep this ball rolling at 8-1.
Didn't you say Bengals?
Bengals, yeah. Bengals. What did I say?
Carolina.
Sorry. Yeah, against Carolina. Yeah, sorry. Bears +2.5, Arizona -3.5, and Bengals -3.
All right, I get the Bengals -3 also, and then I'll take the Saints. I think they get things rolling finally at Detroit -4, Seattle -6.5. I'm going to continue to ride that train at Miami. That one concerns me, but I'll go with it. Marissa?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Seattle -6.5 too. 49ers -7 on Sunday Night Football versus the 0-2-1 Eagles. And I'm gonna go Buffalo -3 versus the Raiders.
All right, one comment, Marissa, right from the
Yeah, this is a good one. We got to get out of here. But Ivorine said, I feel like Connor should be an adopted Jets fan suffering through all of this with us. So
there you go, Connor.
Suffering through 2014. Make me the
honorary member. You're getting your honorary degree as a Jets fan. Oh, yeah,
honorary member. Yep.
All right, we'll be back. Obviously, no game this weekend, but we'll be back early next week. Maybe a mailbag. We'll talk about it. But we'll be back on Monday or Tuesday next week. If you want a subscription to The Athletic for just $1 per month, go to theathletic.com/thecantwaitpodcast. Have a great day, everybody.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.